Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
What an appropriate headline we have for today's episode, because in theory, you could be traveling to Ireland while this episode airs.
Brandon. I definitely will be. I guess I will be. It'll be come out next Monday.
The case against travel turns us into the worst version of ourselves while convincing us that we're at our best. Comes via Agnes Collard in the New... The New Yorker, that's right. And here's the deal. I love the New Yorker so much that I had to quit it because they would stack up and they're so long, these articles.
Yeah.
That I like literally had to be like, I can't subscribe anymore because I'm too far behind. I love the New Yorker.
Yeah, the New Yorker's pretty amazing. She actually is a professor of philosophy in Chicago. I was caught by this because I do check the New Yorker, but you're right. It is so long, but this title got me immediately because I was like, oh, wait a second. This has been something that's been on my mind for a long, long time. But let me give the woke-o-meter a little bit first. Agnes Callard is fascinating. So she divorced her husband.
Oh, dear God. Here we go.
To marry one of her students. I am. And now all of them live together. I'm only saying that. How do you give a woke a wagameter on somebody that... And, by the way, she was diagnosed with autism. So I'm just saying, take it all with a grain of salt. That's all I'm saying.
That's really going to add a lot to this article.
It will. Because she's writing about... She's saying, don't do something. Well, she's autistic. Maybe that plays a... Dude, do you pay attention to anything?
All right. Let's get into this. There's a lot to get to. I'm going to not try to read that much of this because there's a lot to. Travel gets branded as an achievement. See interesting places, have interesting experiences, become interesting people. Is that really what it is? A tourist is a temporary leisured person who voluntarily visits a place away from home for the purpose of experiencing a change. This definition is taken from the opening of Hosted Guests, the classic academic volume on tourism. Tourists are less likely to borrow from their hosts than their hosts are from them, thus participating a chain of change in the host community. We go to experience a change, but end up inflicting change on others.
Yes.
One tiny smidge, a little best. If you're going to see something you neither value nor aspire to value, you're not doing much of anything besides locomoting. And here's the last part. The single most important fact about tourism is this. We already know what it will be like when we return. A vacation is not like immigrating to a foreign country or matriculating at a university or starting a new job or falling in love. We embark on those pursuits with the trepidation of one who enters this tunnel, not knowing what will happen when she walks out. The traveler departs confident she will come back with the same basic interests, political beliefs, and living arrangements. Travel is a boomerang. It drops you right where you started.
Absolutely. The two main points about this article that really struck me that made me want to talk about it was that right there, the FOMO traveler. When you live in a city like San Francisco, you meet so many people that talk about travel as if it was like a religious experience.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a great book called, it was written in the aughts or the early, maybe even the 90s. And it's called Bubos in Paradise. And it's talking about travelers. This guy writes kind of a travel book. And he says, oh, there's always that inevitable traveler. You know the one that will come in now. This was early before Vietnam was just opening up to the world. And they would come in and they go, you'd be talking about your trips to Angkor Wat or to China or to wherever. And you go, oh, those are wonderful places. But nothing beats my experience of traveling in Vietnam. That you're somehow always one-upping each other. I have been guilty of this. I have done a fair amount of traveling because I've been a teacher. So I had my summers off for a long time before I was married. And so I would just save up money and travel because it was the thing to do. You travel. That's what everyone talks about. And I do enjoy traveling a little tiny bit. And I'll tell you what I mean
by
that.
As you speak from currently in Ireland, but go on.
No. Well, yes, I will be in Ireland. But I'm doing that on the company dime, not on my own. I would probably not be taking a trip there if it wasn't paid for. But what I've realized is I did a lot of dirtbag traveling when I was younger. So what I mean by that is, you know, staying in hostels and you just got a backpack and you're just journeying and you're just seeing things. And that's fine. But you're still a tourist. You're not really, you're just kind of going from place to place. They call it in South and Central America, they call it the gringo trail. Because you're always running into other gringos. You know, the Latinos are not like chilling with you. You're probably consuming from them, but you're not actually giving to them.
Yes.
which is what her point is about this whole thing. But here's my thing. What I've realized about my own traveling experience, and I've met so many people that have just chalk up travel experiences like they're, you know, it's like, look what look what I've done. It's horrible, right?
The pictures on the walls, and
let me tell you all about my trip to wherever.
Myanmar. Right? Let me tell you about Myanmar.
I'm like, oh, were you involved in the revolution? No, I was at the it was at the tourist hotel. So again, I've been guilty of this, but what I realized, what I've enjoyed traveling the most. As you know, I went to Siena for five straight years where I would study Italian because I wanted to experience Italy as a culture because of my family. I wanted to learn to speak the language. Yep. I wanted to do all those things. And what I realized, I did a bunch of traveling around the boot for sure. I wanted to see different places. But what I realized, my real joy of traveling to Italy was when I just posted up and lived in one town for months at a time, and I got to know people, I got to know locals, I would go to the same, and what I realized, that's what I love about being here. That's why I love Asheville so much. I don't want to go anywhere else, because I love the local experience. I want to become part of it. I don't want to go to a place and just consume it. I want to actually be part of it, and you can't do that in a week. You have to actually go there. I had a teacher friend of mine that would go every summer to some small little town in northern Spain, in Basque country, that rented the same exact house for 20 years. Every summer, he would go. And I was like, oh, why don't you try? He's like, nah, I just like being in this town. I love the square. I love the people. That's it to me. That's what travel should be.
Yeah, I love traveling as well. I love being like in Paris.
Do you love it?
I do. And here's why. I don't like going to museums. I don't like doing the tourist thing. I love just being in a cafe.
Yeah.
And watching people. I love just sitting and like just absorbing the vibe of where I'm at. It could be Italy. God, freaking just drinking coffee and cappuccinos in a coffee shop is what I love. So I get the point of this article. I never, you know, I imagine if you come to San, I think about this a lot. If you come to San Francisco, you got to go to Fisherman's Wharf. But there couldn't be
a less San Francisco place in the world than Fisherman's Wharf.
But by the way, it originally started as a really cool spot where the fishermen would come and you would see the catch, and it would be this place where you interacted with the local fish. But it's not that anymore.
No, it's Disneyland on the wharf. I mean, there's nothing to it. But this is the one area where I completely disagreed with Agnes, was she doesn't talk about that part, which is we don't all have to be ugly Americans.
Yeah.
We can go to a place and invest ourselves in it. You can go and say, I'm going to... She talked about this couple that found some festival in Mexico accidentally, and then they took their ethnography friend to go there, and she says they weren't interested in the festival. They were interested in how their friend saw the festival, so they could kind of get props for going to that. I understand that, but I also think there's an incredible experience in going to a local event. I've talked about this story about going to the finger wrestling tournament in southern Germany in Mittenwald. Literally, the next town over is Austria. And it's this crazy festival that my brother turned me on to that I would go back to every year if I could. If it wasn't such a hoof to get there, I just loved it. It was an incredible experience. I would enter the tournament. I would get involved with it. So if you're actually involving as opposed to just taking, then that's a different experience in travel.
Well, involving whatever. These people just saw this cool festival in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like experiencing that. Like you always talk about the horse race in Siena, which you just go and watch that. It's the Palio.
Yeah.
I don't think you can't be involved. It's for locals. But being there and watching that is incredible.
Yeah. And they've the Palio is a really interesting thing. It's clearly touristy. They definitely have lots of people in and they take advantage of the tourist dollars that come in. But it is an absolutely local event. When you are part of a contrada, that is your contrada. And they are very serious about that race. It's a big deal from the time they're little children. And if they've left Siena, they come back every, you know, it's twice a year in the summer. There's two races. And they come back to see their family and to spend time there. So they have not let it be overtaken by the ugly travelers.
So here's the kind of the rub for me on this. Took the family, as I mentioned. They'd never been on a plane. We went to Hawaii last summer, went to Kauai. It was just awesome. Like I loved every second of it, but the Hawaiians are waiting on us. They're like, they're cleaning the towels at the hotel. They're taking us on their tour trips.
Right.
Like my American brain wants to be like, well, we're providing them jobs by being the tourist going there and experiencing these things. Is that not true?
I think there is truth to that, absolutely. But there's also an undercurrent of racism. There's an undercurrent of colonialism.
Yes, for sure.
I mean,
for sure.
You know, Hawaii was robbed from the Hawaiian people.
Of course.
I mean, that's a, and there are probably lots of countries where that's happened. So I don't know. I understand your tension around that.
Think of any great tourist destination, Banff in Canada.
Yeah.
Yellowstone, wherever you want it. If they don't have tourism, those towns go away. How do they supply
Tahoe? Well, that's the point. I mean, San Francisco is the same way. Everybody's complaining about it right now because tourist dollars are way down. Asheville saw a 3% drop in it because of perceived homeless problems in this town. So, yes, Asheville's a tourist town. We want people to come and drink at our breweries and all the things that fuel the economy. Absolutely. I think that her point about a tourist is not one that gives. In a sense, you're not taking their culture from them. They're taking your culture from you. So the best example I could think of this, I remember when my first year ever in Siena, there are gelaterias everywhere around town. They're and basically they're ice cream shops, but the best ice cream in the world, right? Gelato. And I remember seeing there's this one main sort of boulevard in Siena. You walk over, there's no cars, and it's all alleys and streets. It's great. But there's this one kind of main thoroughfare that everyone walks on. It's mostly tourists. And once you sort of learn the city a little bit, you know not to get on that anymore because it's just too filled with people. But there's a gelateria there. And I remember seeing there's this gelato that was, it was huge. I saw this guy walking around with it. And I asked this guy that lived there that I'd gotten to know at the school I was attending. And he was from Boston originally, but his parents were Sienese, so he had actually moved back there. And his name was Peter. I was like, hey, Peter, what's the story with the gelato, the big giant gelato? He goes, oh, no, that's not for the Italians or the Sienese. That's for the American tourists. Like, they literally invented it for the American tourists. And it was a 15-euro gelato, which is, like, at that time in the early aughts was, like, that would have been equivalent to a $50 gelato, ultimately. Mm. And I was like, oh, my God, it's gross. But the Italians were like, hey, the dumb fat Americans with their baseball hats on backwards want the giant gelato, so let's give it to them. Let's give them what they want. They're not, in a sense, that American is just bringing in their giant Texas American culture and taking it from the Sienese. They're not actually giving it anything to the Sienese.
I love this article and hate this article at the same time. I want to take my family on a camper van all around New Zealand. I want to sit in Paris and eat baguettes with my family. I want to go to Iceland. I want to just go and experience and do all the things. But I get the construct of this
but
article.
She doesn't talk about the idea of the travel abroad, the work abroad thing. Like, if you're a student and you go, it can be life-changing to see another culture. So I don't agree. Again, that's why I mentioned that at the very beginning about her background. So you take it with a grain of salt, but you know, and I know, that person that just collects scalps of where they've traveled to and constantly talk about it. And I know people that listen to the show that are like that. They're like, oh, yes, my time in Patagonia. I'm like, I don't give a shit about your time in Patagonia. Stop talking about it. You didn't do anything.
No, let me tell you about the time I went to Antarctica on a boat. I got to tell you about it. It was like the life-changing.
And I love that she says in there, it's like, none of this is life-changing. You come back and do the exact same things you were doing before.
Is there a chance while you're in Ireland, you would tell someone to listen to the Smarticle podcast?
Right? I'm going to tell everyone. All the Irish people are going to hear about the Smarticle podcast.
Take Brandon's example. Tell a friend, maybe email some of your cousin in Sweden to listen to the Smarticle podcast. Also tell your cousin to follow us on all the social medias. We do a great job on the TikToks, Brandon. You
absolutely
retired from TikTok, but...
No, I'm still kicking around a little bit.
Okay. All right, so tell a friend, leave a comment wherever you get your podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Brandon, thank you for filling us in and also for getting us to tell us about the little skyscraper in Siena. You left us wanting a little bit more for your Italian travels. Thank you, Brandon.